Hey, God bless you. Thank you for joining us live here at Cooked Revivals. I'm Pastor Michael. I want to say thank you again for tuning in. It is a blessing to be here to be able to minister this word before each and every single one of you. This month, in the month of October, we're going to do a brand new series entitled Action in Goodness. Why are we picking that topic? Out of all the topics we could have picked, this is something that God laid specifically on my heart because in the time that we live in currently, and this is Michael being real with you guys. The environment is such hostility throughout the nation and throughout the world. And sometimes we forget as men and women of God exactly what it means to walk in a spirit of kindness and a spirit of compassion. Sometimes we forget exactly what it means to act in goodness. And you may be saying, I don't forget that, Pastor Michael. Well, I understand that, but there are times to where we get cornered into a corner and we want to react in certain manners and certain demeanors. There's an attractive quality of kindness that you just cannot beat. And this is what I wanted to talk on. Again, action in goodness. Do you think you're a kind person? Would those who are closest to you agree with your assessment? What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say every one of us, ingrained within the spirit of every last one of us, is a season of kindness. But if we don't pursue to follow that and act upon that kindness on a daily basis, you know, somebody told me one time, and it's amazing. Thank you, Lord. Somebody told me one time that you are the only Bible that others will read. Now, we've all heard this. We've heard this statement 100 times. You may be the only Bible that someone else will read. But how true is that? How true is it that our life and our character is the only way some people will ever acknowledge coming to God? It is through your actions or lack thereof that will cause a person to say, yes, this is what I want. Yes, I see the love of Christ, or I don't want nothing to do with it. I pray that you are not the latter, but the former. I pray that in kindness we show compassion and humility and love towards our fellow brother. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, sometimes we get caught up so much in the realms of life that it is so easy to neglect the fruits of the Spirit within our own life. And you may say, oh, I don't do that. We all have. Every one of us at one point in time or another have strayed off to the left or to the right, even when we didn't want to, even when we didn't mean to. And usually it ends up with us being convicted by the Holy Spirit of our actions. Thank God that the Holy Spirit is still there to convict us. Thank God that we are still engrafted in the vine of heaven, that the Holy Spirit can come down and bring convicting power to us. Because I'm going to tell you something, it is a very sad day when we can walk in the presence of anyone else and do wrong and feel no conviction of God. That is not where God wants us to be. But instead, we are to flow in the fruits of the Spirit. Again, let's talk about them. This is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I heard somebody tell me one time, said, Pastor Mark, I can't do that because this is who God made me to be, and this is just who I'm going to be. That may be so, but right here, there is a process that every man and woman of God must go through to build and develop character. Come on, somebody. We have to develop character beyond where we are. If every day that goes by, you are not doing a self-assessment and asking God, Lord, where do you want me today? God, what can I work on today? Lord, where would you have me move today? Then we are not growing in God and we have laid stagnant at the altar. Come on. If we are not questioning everything that we do to the point of growth in Christ, then stagnation has hit our walk in our spirit. And if your spirit is not growing, you cannot reach out and help others. And if you cannot reach out and help others, then you are not fulfilling the call that God put on your life. Come on. Your call, men and women of God, your call is not to sit behind a roster like this and just preach the gospel. That is not what God just called you to do. Your calling is to go forth into y'all the world. Come on. You know the scripture. These works and greater will you do as Christ did. And it's awesome and it's powerful and it's wonderful to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. It's powerful to be able to go and give a word of knowledge and say in this such time at this such date. That is awesome. But let me tell you something, and it hits home for me really hard. And that is this: it doesn't matter how eloquently you flow in the gifts of the Spirit, if you do not flow in love and kindness and compassion, and if you do not put it within action in your everyday walk, then everything else you do may be meaningless. And that is simply because you can give me a word today and I will be grateful. But until that word comes to pass, tomorrow I will still suffer the exact same affliction I'm going through today. Come on. You are called to be ambassadors of Christ. You are called to walk in His love and to showcase whom God is. He's the God of the universe. He is the God who had pulled you out of the miry clay and set you on His pedestal to mold and shape you. How come we can't do the same likewise for everybody else that's in our life? How come God can shape and mold us, but we're quick to point a finger at somebody else? Come on. That's not who God called us to be as Christians. God did not call us to backbite. God did not call us to slander. And God did not call us to point fingers. But He called us to get on our face. He called us to pray. He called us to fast. And He called us to be world changers. And you cannot change the world by pointing a finger at somebody else. Because when you point one at somebody else, there's three more pointing back at you. Come on, somebody. So often, we are quick to jump and be judgmental. But what would happen if God was to be as judgmental against us? What would happen? Where would we be if God was so judgmental against us? Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." And that is our main calling. The Apostle Paul stated it clearly and so eloquently when he said, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave us." I understand we may sometimes, as human beings, we're still human in nature, everybody. I understand. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we get upset and frustrated. But is that what Christ would do? Now, I know some of you are sitting back. I understand. Some of you are sitting back, and the first thing that wants to pop in your head is the money changer table. Well, Jesus walked in with a bullwhip and started turning over tables. And He did. He did. That was in response to them taking the temple and making it a disgrace. He responded due to somebody shaming the image of God. How much more are we shaming the image of God by not walking in compassion and love and kindness? So before we start pulling out scriptures of bullwhips and turning over tables, it's like the other scripture says about the plank in your own eye. God will not be mocked nor disgraced. And there are some times to where we're believing as men and women of God for our own personal blessings. Amen. We're sitting back and we're praying and we're fasting and we're seeking the face of God. Yet we're still holding on and we're waiting on a blessing that still seems to be so far off. And you have to stop and you have to question it. You have to ask, you know, Lord, why? Why is this being held off? God, why is it taking so long? God, what is happening? That my miracle is not coming through. Have you stopped for one moment to test your own character? Have you stopped for one instant just to see exactly where you are in God? Let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be real with you. It is possible to get into a routine of prayer without being in the change of prayer. Let me say that again. It is very possible for you to get into the routine of prayer, but without feeling the effects of the change of prayer. So often we'll go through prayer and we'll get down and we're like, we'll know that we're getting down at 7 a.m. I'm going to pray for a half an hour here. And then around noon, I may pray for another hour on my lunch break and so on and so forth. And that's fine. But if during that prayer time, you are not taking assessment of your own life and you are not tapping into the glory of God that will change us from glory to glory to glory, then your prayer time is hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. Come on. You cannot get into the presence of Almighty God with an unclean heart and expect Him to do miracles without Him first changing that heart. You have to come in saying, God, here I am. This is who I am. This is what I'm asking you to change about me. Fix me. Remove all sin. Remove the things out of my life that you don't like. When I first got saved, the very first thing I prayed, and I prayed this on a daily basis, and that is, God, search my heart, and everything is in my heart that's not of you that you don't like. Take it out. Every uncleanness, everything to God that you are despising, remove it from my heart, dear God. Show me what I need to correct. Show me what I need to fix so that way I can move and advance further in you for your kingdom. So that way I can showcase you before the world. Because I'm telling you, if you want the world to come to Jesus, you must first showcase exactly who Jesus is. And there was nothing that Christ preached about if it wasn't love. There was nothing He done if it wasn't compassion. Every miracle that Jesus wrought was based upon the foundations of love and compassion. He was moved by the faithfulness of others. He was moved through compassion to heal the others. It is through compassion and love that we move in the Spirit. It's almost, in a sense, kindness has almost become a novelty in our culture of rudeness. We're in a culture of rudeness and self-seeking, self-promotion, self-centeredness. And anybody who wants to act in kindness and in turn is now looked upon like a novelty act. Why are you acting this way? You don't have to be that way. If you want something, you go out and you grab it. If you want something, you take it. That's not what Christ commanded us to do. That's not who we are as Christians. That's not who we are as men and women of God. God didn't command us to go out and take this and take that. God didn't command us to go out and show rudeness and self-promotion and self-centeredness. I understand about intercession and claiming the land. I understand about proclaiming what is God's and what is not. I understand about tearing down territories. That's not what I'm speaking about here. What I'm speaking about is self-promotion, self-centeredness, and the inability to show kindness to others. I'm going to tell you something, and I stand by this word with all my heart, with every fiber of my being, I stand behind this, and that is this. I don't care if you've been doing ministry for 1 year. I don't care if you've been doing ministry for 50 years. I don't care if you are first now entering into ministry, or it doesn't matter to me if you are trying to get your ministry started. Everyone that falls under these banners, which is everybody that's watching here today, if you cannot show kindness and love to those in your own household, or to those outside of those four walls, if you cannot sit down and have a dinner at a restaurant and you treat the waitress or the waiter with kindness and compassion, don't start your ministry. And if you've already started your ministry, stop, take time, and reevaluate where you are in God. Because there is no way you can run an effective, fervent ministry and power and signs and wonders and have a heart that's stony without compassion towards others. It is an impossibility. You cannot do it. It is not capable. If that ministry is sitting there and the leader is not operating in kindness and compassion, pray for them. Pray that God will open their eyes. Pray that God will move upon their heart. And if it's you that this may be going to, if you are the one that the Holy Spirit is convicting today, then ask Him to show you what needs to be changed in your life. And you know what? This is the thing to me that we have gotten so far away from. And we have gotten so far, far away from it. And that is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When is the last time, honestly, when is the last time that we have sat down and in prayer been so convicted by God that we wept at the altars begging for forgiveness? When's the last time the spirit of conviction hit us so strongly that it made us want to be better, that it made us want to change who we are, that it made us want to fix the things in our lives that we know that God would not be pleased with? It starts in kindness. So what is kindness? What is kindness? According to Tyndale Bible Dictionary, kindness is a state of being that includes the attributes of loving affection, sympathy, friendliness, patience, pleasantness, gentleness, and goodness. Kindness is a quality shown in the way a person speaks and acts. It is more volitional than emotional. Kindness is not emotional or a feeling, but kindness is a choice. Let me say that again. Kindness is not an emotion or a feeling. Kindness is a choice. You choose whether to blow up and be angry, or you choose to show kindness. You choose to be frustrated and upset, or you choose to show compassion and empathy. You cannot do both. You must pick one or the other. And the decision lies in your hands. It sits within your heart. And depending upon the contents of your heart will determine what will come out. The contents of your heart will decide whether you are going to act in a method of kindness, or are you going to act in a demeanor of anger? You choose. According to the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary, the New Testament word for kindness is translated from the Greek word Christotis. The dictionary says this word can be described gentleness, goodness, uprightness, generosity, and graciousness. The New Testament describes kindness as an attribute of God, Titus 3 and 4. Kindness is also a characteristic of true love, 1 Corinthians 13:4. You cannot say, I love my neighbor without showing my neighbor kindness. Come on. An attribute of kindness is the showing of true love, not this fake love, but a love that says, in spite of the faults, I still choose to show you kindness. In spite of how much it wants to upset me, I choose kindness. You make that decision. No one else does. The Lord's people should possess kindness and not refuse to dispense it to others. Matthew 5, 7, Acts 20, 35, Romans 15, 2 and 5, 1 Peter 3 and 8. One of the most profound encounters of kindness that you will ever read about is David's kindness towards the house of Jonathan. Jonathan asked David to make a covenant with him. David made a promise to his best friend Jonathan that he would show kindness to his family should anything happen to him. And in 1 Samuel 20, 12 through 17, we see Jonathan's request and the covenant between him and David. And it says, but show me unfailing kindness, like the Lord's kindness, as long as I live, so that I may not be killed, and do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. You cannot show kindness without the spirit of love. David and Jonathan made a covenant that no matter what would befall them, no matter what would happen, that David would always show kindness to the house of Jonathan. And the story ends, right, with Jonathan falling on the sword, being killed in the midst of battle. Saul falls on the sword. The whole house is dead. And what does David do? He remembers the covenant oath that he made to Jonathan. And he goes and he says, is there anyone in the house of Jonathan that is left that I may show kindness upon them? Because this is the oath that I had made to his house. And they said, there is but one, Mephibosheth. Come on. Mephibosheth still lives, but he is crippled and was crippled from a young age. And David said, he is of Jonathan's house. Bring him to me. And David took in Mephibosheth out of an act of kindness and an oath of love. And the story ends with 2 Samuel 9:13. And it says, and Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because, come on, he always ate at the king's table. Come on, somebody. The kindness that God showed us by allowing us to enter at the king's table and eat every day at the king's table should be the exact same kindness and love that we show to our family, that we show to our neighbor. It's the same kindness and love that we should also show forth to those in our neighborhood, those within our state, and those within our country. Daily we should be praying. Daily we should be praying for ourselves. Daily we should be showing kindness and praying for our family. Daily we should be showing kindness and praying for strangers around us. Daily we should be showing kindness and praying for the politicians that are in the land. Because Daniel says God sets up kings and he pulls kings down. No one is sitting in an office today that God first did not ordain to be there. Come on. And therefore it is us, as men and women of God, as Christian believers, that we should pray diligently that the hand of God will lead and guide everyone that is in control and in power. That is the word of God. It is not for us to be going out and spreading gossip and rumors. It's not for us to be going out and pointing the finger and writing hate messages and speeches against everyone and everything that moves. But it is in our nature to show the love and compassion of Christ. Come on, somebody. Paul, the Apostle Paul, got to the heart of God's kindness in Ephesians 4:32 through 5:2 when he said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. It is a glorious truth that compassion and kindness is what breeds miracles. When Christ first came on the scene, thank you, Holy Spirit, when Christ first came on the scene, all the apostles, the men and women within the streets of Jerusalem, all were wanting war. They were wanting dissolution from the Roman government. They wanted to go and secede, and they wanted to be able to be the kingdom that God promised them to be. So they were expecting Jesus not just to be the Messiah that would come and deliver the world through the shed blood of his on Calvary, but they were expecting him to be a leader in war. They were expecting him to cause an uprising that would lead the Jews against the Romans and take back Israel. You see this throughout the talks of when they ask, do you know who I am? And all the disciples could not figure out who Christ was. Well, some say you're this person. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. But it took Peter having a revelation from the Holy Ghost that said, thou art Christ, the anointed one. Thou art he who has come to bring deliverance. Christ does not come to make war. If that was the case, then when we were at the Garden of Gethsemane and he was being taken by the Roman soldiers, when Peter pulled that sword out to go cut off that soldier's ear, Christ would have let the boys run roughshod all over them soldiers. He did not do that. Instead, he told Peter to put your sword away, picked up the ear from the soldier and put it back on his head and caused a miracle to take place out of compassion. Even though the soldiers were there to bring him to his crucifixion, Christ still moved in compassion. Even though they had come and he knew what the end result was going to be, he knew about the beatings, he knew about the 39 lashes, he knew about Calvary, yet he still operated in love and compassion enough to bring healing to the man that would be his captor. Kindness is a virtue that breeds miracles. If you want miracles to take place in your life today, start flowing and working in kindness. If you want miracles to start taking place and breakthroughs to start taking place in your life, check that we are operating in a spirit of compassion and kindness. Because if we are not, this is why the breakthroughs are being hindered. If you've prayed and you're fasting, if you have sought the face of God, if you have sown, if you have done everything within your ability that you can think of, and breakthroughs are still being held up, then we need to search internally. If breakthroughs are still not happening in your life, I'm guaranteeing you it is because of an internal struggle between you and God. It is time that we check ourselves. It's enough for checking everybody else and everything else, man. Come on. We do enough of that on a daily basis. We have gotten complete news feeds that come into our phones and our television sets on a daily basis. We get fed enough craziness on a daily basis what it does is it fosters an environment of finger pointing. And that's all it serves to do. It fosters an environment of finger pointing and causes you to want to lash out against. That's not what Christ called us to do. You will never change this world by lashing out. Nor will you change this world by pointing fingers. If you want to see America come back into greatness again, it's only done through love and compassion. Not by pointing a finger, not by watching a syndicated news show, but by getting on our face and weeping for the nation. When's the last time we cried our eyes out before an almighty God for a change? If you want change and you want to experience change, you'll only find that change with your face down before God, weeping and praying for the nation. That's how change comes. I don't care how many hats you buy. I don't care how many conversations you have with people beside you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters is how can we change the world by being better Christians and men and women for God? That's what matters. If you want to see real change, it's on your face before God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown in the pit of fire. Y'all know the story. I don't have to go over it again. But they were thrown in the pit. And what brought them out? They look at Nebuchadnezzar and point fingers? No. Did they look at each other and say, "You're the reason that I'm here"? No. Instead, in the midst of their greatest persecution, they started praising. They started worshiping God. They started giving him glory. They started admonishing him for who he is in their life. Because to them, no matter what they were going through currently, it was irrelevant. It didn't matter to them what they were going through. What mattered to them was that God was still God and he still sat on the throne. What mattered to them that they knew that he was able and capable to bring them out. And even if he did it, they would still serve him to their last breath because they knew that he was still God. Sometimes I think we forget that God is still God. Sometimes I think it slips our mind just how powerful and magnificent God is. Kindness, compassion. As Paul wrote to his friend and partner in ministry in Titus 3, 4 through 7, he stressed this glorious truth. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, because we've done nothing righteous, but because of his mercy. It was the mercy that saved us, not our righteousness. The thing about kindness is that none of us deserve it or can earn it. Kindness is free and merciful. This is why it's kindness. Kindness is free and merciful. It is time to take action in goodness. Action in kindness. We need to recognize that kindness is not an easy or cheap novelty. By no means. We have been shown the most amazing and costly act of kindness ever existed. And while we, just like Mephibosheth, deserve death, Christ showed an act of kindness towards us and brought us up out of that pit, brought us up out of that situation. Even though we deserved death, we deserved what we were getting. Through his act of kindness and mercy, he brought us out. Through his act of kindness and mercy and love, he delivered us when we didn't need deliverance. He delivered us when we weren't deserving of deliverance. God still brought deliverance. And not only did he deliver us out, but he delivered us and gave us a seat at the king's table. How much more should we do likewise to those around us? How much more should we do likewise to those in the vicinity and those over the nation? Kindness. As people have been shown to show such great kindness, we should also show great kindness. Because Christ showed us kindness when we didn't deserve it. And I'm glad that I get a chance to minister here before you today. And I'm glad I get to bring this message. This has been a message that's been burning on my heart for a long time. And that is, if we want to see change, real change, true change, it's only going to come by us changing first. Don't expect somebody else around you to change when you're still the same old you. Come on. I can't expect my family to see the love and compassion of Christ when I myself have not shown them any love and compassion. I cannot expect to see my neighborhood and my community change when I'm not going out and showing compassion and love towards my neighborhood and community. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every single change that you are going to see within your community, within your neighborhood, within your family, within your government is going to happen simply by one single act of kindness from you. If you want to change things, be it in your family or friends or in your surrounding areas, it's going to change by you starting a simple act of goodness. This is what God called us to do. This is how you effectively minister the word of God. Because I'm telling you, your act of kindness will sow the seed of faith in somebody else. Your act of kindness will be the reason somebody comes to Jesus. Your act of kindness will be the reason breakthroughs and miracles begin to happen. And as you continue to act in kindness and flow in compassion, you'll start seeing the anointing in your life increase. As you continue to flow in compassion and love and show actions of goodness and compassion and kindness, You'll start seeing miracles take place in your own life. You'll start seeing the habitation of angels taking place in your house. You'll begin to start seeing God's presence everywhere you go, because it is then you are walking and acting in the same characteristic of Jesus Christ. And that's what he called us to do. If you want to see God move in your church, do it through kindness and compassion. This is how we get the presence of God to move. By a single, simple act of compassion and kindness. That's all. As people have been shown such kindness, we should, as Paul said in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God has forgiven us. I pray that this message touches on something close to your heart. I pray that the spirit of conviction falls upon you during this message. If you are finding yourself in a place to where you know you need to show more compassion, and you need to show more compassion and kindness, then I pray that conviction comes to you through this message. After all, what is a teaching and a message if we cannot learn and benefit from it and move forward together in Christ Jesus? If you would, lift your hands and pray with me. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, God, touch every single soul out there today that has been watching this message. I pray that this message burns within the heart of everyone that is watching today, and may kindness and compassion be the foundation upon which their whole lives are based and found upon, God. I pray, Lord, come to them now, Lord, and deal with their hearts and show them the things that you would have us to change. Show us the things, God, that you would have us to fix within our own lives, to God. And may we know you in the fullness of your glory and in love and compassion. I pray, Almighty God, that today be the beginning of changes in our lives and our breakthroughs. And I pray to God, bring breakthroughs to everyone watching on this video today, God. Everyone who is watching, God, via YouTube, Facebook, or wherever they may be watching. I pray, Almighty God, let this message touch someone dearly. And may changes begin to take place even now. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen and amen. God bless you again. Thank you so much for allowing me to join you and deliver you this powerful message. It has been a blessing to me, and I pray it's been a blessing to you as well. If you would like to sow anything into the ministry, because every proceed for the sowing of this ministry goes towards expanding this ministry. It goes towards the teachings. It goes towards the television. It goes towards the social media. It goes towards community outreaches. If you would like to sow anything to the ministry, you can do so by visiting cookrevivals.org. Again, thank you so much for allowing me to come into your homes and be a blessing to your lives. Until next Sunday, I'm Pastor Michael on behalf of myself, Prophet Tracy, and my wife, Pastor Ruba, from Cook Revivals. God bless you. Until next time.